Awesome. Well, that is a great little two-minute snapshot of what baptism is, which is what we're going to be engaging in here in a little bit with the Clarks, which we're super excited for. So I'm so glad to see all of you. I hope you had a great Christmas and that you were able to enjoy some time with family and got all the kids' toys together without breaking anything. That's always the most trying part in our house, right? Trying to find batteries for everything and all that stuff. But it seems like Christmas is such a busy and hectic season, and we always end up getting through the holiday season just completely wiped and exhausted and stressed out and freaking out and all that stuff. So what we did tonight is we're intentionally trying to just scale things back a little bit and just this theme of being refreshed and recharged, and then refocusing our attention on Jesus is what we're doing, which is why we don't have Missio Kids for any of the older kids. So you kiddos, we're glad to have you in here. Thanks for being here, and you're so well-behaved. Most people are about to fall asleep, it looks like, as far as the kids go. So I think that must have been a good sign for a good Christmas, which I mean, most of us are about to fall asleep also, it looks like. I saw Aaron had to start clapping, and there's some reluctancy in some of our parts. It's like, I'm not going to do what he tells me to do. I'm an American. I'm going to make my own decisions, and I'm not going to clap when everyone tells me to clap. So, but we're glad that you participated in that anyway. And so tonight is going to be a lot different than normal, as I've already mentioned. And so I'm just going to give a quick overview sketch of what we want this evening to be as far as refocusing and recharging and being refreshed. And then we're going to break into our discussion tables like normal. This will be a lot sooner in the evening. And then as those wrap up, if you have any kids back in the infant room, you're going to go get your kids and bring them out here so that the entire church family will be in this room for the baptism. Because baptism is such an integral and essential part of what it means to be a follower of Christ. And we want all of our kids growing up seeing the sacrament played out before us and celebrating with us as a community. And so when they come up out of the water, we're just going to go nuts and cheer for them and celebrate the work that Jesus did in their life. And we want all of our kids to just have that as a part of their life growing up, part of their faith, is realizing that we celebrate the work that God does in the hearts of people that follow him. Jesus tells us that in the Gospel of Luke that every time a sinner repents, there's rejoicing in heaven, that the angels are rejoicing over one sinner who repents. And so, and that's what baptism is. It's a reflection of the fact that we were all sinners. We all need to repent. And once we do and we repent and put our faith in Jesus, we are literally a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5 says that if anyone is in Christ, behold, he's a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. And it's such an amazing picture of what baptism is. But I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. What we want to talk about now for the next few minutes is just this concept of, like I said, slowing down and refocusing and recharging. And I think one of the best ways that we can do that as far as actually pausing and reflecting is if you just stop. I mean, the calendar year, right? It's an awesome tool if you're going to engage your life and see what it is that God has done in your life. If at the end of this calendar year, if you just hit the pause button and you look back and you think back and you pray over everything that's happened to you this past year, I think that's an amazing way that God shows you the growth that you've had this last year and the work that he's done in your life. So as an example, every New Year's Eve, I say every, we did this last year and we're planning on doing it this year. So twice makes a tradition, right? Isn't that how it works in our house anyway? So what we do on New Year's Eve is we look at all the photo albums, all the photos that we took from the previous year, starting in January and working all the way up through December. And just, it's amazing to see the change that takes place in your family, in your surroundings, some friends that have moved on, some different life change events. But that time of just spending an hour and looking at all these photos helps recalibrate your heart, and you can appreciate all the work that God has done in your life before that. Okay, and this is an amazing concept of just seeing God's work in the past gives you confidence in the present. So if you think back to a few weeks ago when we did our series in the book of Habakkuk, that's basically what Habakkuk was about. I mean, like, so there's all this stuff going on, Habakkuk's upset, and then God says, I'm going to do this amazing thing in the future. And the way you know that that's going to come to pass is because you can take inventory of what I've done in the past. And so then he recounts all these things that God did in the history of Israel. And by recounting their past, it gives them confidence and strength in the present as we await God's plan unfolding in the future. Okay, and it's even more recently, if you think back to the book of Ruth, this is same concept was played out, right? So Habakkuk is a corporate picture of what the nation of Israel went through, but then Ruth is the exact opposite. It's a very personal and intimate look at one family and how God worked these events sovereignly in the lives of this family in order to have his plan unfold for their good and his glory. And so the book of Ruth is about this the widows that are experiencing all this heartache, and then God works these circumstances into their lives that bring significance. And so in the middle of the story, they would have had no idea what God was up to. But by the time the story gets to the end and they see how God took all these, you know, these different strands of their life and he wove them together for his plan, they're able to look back on their life and see that it wasn't just a coincidence that that Ruth came back at the barley harvest. And it wasn't just a coincidence that she ended up at Boaz's field. And it wasn't just a coincidence that Boaz was related to them. And there's all these coincidences that they wouldn't have understood unless they had stopped and reflected on what God had done. This is a very, really biblical concept. So let me show you, just point to a few verses in the Old Testament, and then we're going to work our way towards the New. But do you guys know what an Ebenezer is? Heard the concept of Ebenezer? Not Ebenezer Scrooge, but we're going to sing in a few minutes my favorite song of all time. It's called Come Thou Fount. And there's this amazing line in it where he says, "Here I raise mine Ebenezer, hither by thy help I've come." And we sing that all the time, but most of us have no idea what an Ebenezer is. So we're going to learn what an Ebenezer is tonight. And an Ebenezer is a stone of remembrance. And it comes from this passage in 1 Samuel chapter 7. So Samuel, who's the person ruling Israel at this point in their history, says, "Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shin and called its name Ebenezer." So he takes this literal rock, a physical, tangible rock, and he stands it up in the middle of this field and says, "This rock is here to remind you of what God did in the past." It's a tangible, physical reminder of God's work. And he gets this from the book of Judges, as well as this all over the Old Testament. We're just going to take a quick look at, Joshua. Joshua chapter 4. So Moses has passed on. Joshua is leading the Israelites now, and they cross the Jordan River. And so they're officially done with the Exodus. They're not wandering in the desert anymore. They're now in the Promised Land. They cross the Jordan River into the Promised Land. And this is a huge chapter in Israel's history. And so what God tells them, and we're just going to read the story real quick in Joshua chapter 4. It says, "When all the nation had finished passing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, 'Take 12 men from the people, from each tribe a man, and command them, saying, Take 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priest stood firmly, and bring them over with you, and lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight.' Then Joshua called the 12 men from the people of Israel, whom he had appointed, a man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, 'Pass on before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take up each of you a stone upon his shoulder,'" a physical, tangible stone. It says, "'And according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, and this may be a sign among you, and when your children ask in time to come,'" this is really important, "'when your children ask in time to come, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, so that these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever.'" Okay, these stones will be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. And so just like God had parted the Red Sea for the Israelites to pass, in this miraculous event, God parts the Jordan River and the Israelites pass through on dry ground. And so then God has them grab 12 stones from the middle of the river that should be the bottom of the riverbed. And they bring them out and they set them up as an altar next to the Jordan River. So these stones, these physical, tangible reminders will be there. And so then when their kids ask, "What are these stones symbolic of?" they can say, "These were taken from the Jordan River when God did this amazing miracle to bring us into the Promised Land." Okay, do you see where we're going with this? It's a physical, tangible reminder of the work that God had done in the people of Israel. Okay, and sometimes when we talk about our faith and we talk about religion, we think it's some ethereal thing where it's just, you know, that God's up there, but we can't really see him, and I get these warm, fuzzy feelings, and that's how I know Christianity is true, and it's all emotional and intellectual, and there isn't much physicality about our faith, with the exception of the sacraments. Okay, the two sacraments that we as Protestants adhere to is the sacrament of baptism and the sacrament of the Lord's table, of communion. And what both of these things are is they are physical, tangible reminders of the work that God has done in our salvation. And so when we're doing baptism tonight, this isn't just I'm just trying to get people wet and have some weird tradition where they get in the water and get out and we clap for some reason and go home. What this is it is a physical, tangible reminder of the work that God did in our hearts in salvation. Okay, so let's flip to Romans chapter 6. This will be on the screen behind me. And we're going to read verses 3-5. It says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into his death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if you have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. If you've been united with him in a death like his, you will be united with him in a resurrection like his. So just as Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and then they laid him in a tomb, 3 days later, he rose from the dead, conquering sin, conquering evil, conquering the devil, and providing a way for us to be united with God the Father. Just like that, death and resurrection happened in a real physical body. Jesus really died. He really rose from the dead. And in the same way, as Christians, when we get baptized, we are buried in the water, symbolic of the death of our old sin nature. We are dying to our old selves. And then when we come up out of the water, it's a symbolic reaction showing that just like Jesus was raised from the dead, we too are raised from the dead spiritually. And then I love that line there, to walk in newness of life. And so this is what happens when you're saved, okay? Baptism does not save you, okay? There's nothing about getting wet that makes you more holy or God love you any more than he did before you got into the water. But what it is again, a physical, tangible reminder of the work that God has done in our hearts. And that's why we call it a sacrament, because it's something that is spiritual nourishment for our souls. So just as that song talks about raising an Ebenezer, just like Samuel raised an Ebenezer, just like Joshua had the Israelites gather those 12 stones to remind them of the work that God has done, baptism for us is a physical, tangible reminder of the work that God has done. And the beauty of this is that we're not just doing this in someone's home by ourselves, right? This is a corporate sacrament. We're together as the body of Christ. All of us have come from different places this week in order to celebrate the baptisms that we're going to witness. But what they do is it's a physical, tangible reminder for the people being baptized, but also for everyone else present here. When you see them go into the water, you're reminded of the fact that you were dead in your sin. And when you see them come up out of the water, a new creation in Christ, and just soaking wet but full of joy because of the work that God has done, that's a reminder for all of us of the resurrection that we have in our hearts because of the work of Jesus. Okay, this in some ways is the most exciting night that we will have all year. Okay, except for the last baptism we had and the next baptism we're going to have. They're all equally exciting. I'm not trying to throw anyone under the bus that was baptized last time. But what this is a community, this is the most significant time that we can have together. And that's why the kids are here. That's why we're focusing the entire night around this baptism service. Because we are so, as that same song talks about, we're prone to wander. Okay, we're prone to forget the work that God has done in our hearts. And so we need reminders, both the reminder of communion that we do every week and the reminder of baptism. So we can be reminded as a corporate body that we were dead in sin. But because Jesus took our sin upon himself, we are now free to walk and newness of life. So that's all that we're going to, as far as talking tonight goes, that's what we're going to do. And that I want to spend the next 10 minutes now in our discussion tables like we do every week. And there's only going to be two questions for us to process through. It is, how have you seen God work in your life this past year? Okay, so just like we're talking about the physical, tangible reminders and raising an Ebenezer, what I want us to do at our discussion tables is to put together a pile of stones. Okay, if I was really cool and hip, I would have brought in a bunch of rocks and we would have actually done it, but we're not that culturally savvy anymore, I guess. But so what I want us to do is figuratively pile together a group of stones of what we can see God did in our lives this past year. You know, what's the amazing way you say you saw God show up when you needed him most? How is it that you have grown in this past year? Think about last Christmas to now. How much has changed? How have you seen God work? And this can be both convicting and encouraging. So I was talking with Kelly earlier today that I realized that I have had more struggle with anger lately than I have had in a really long time. But pausing and reflecting on that can help me see the sin in my life and I can confess it. But then I can also recognize that this last year, God really did some things of bringing to light some of my insecurities in the way that I haven't been rooted in his love. Instead, I've been going to other people for that love that I can only find in him. So those are both a positive and a negative example of what happens when you stop and reflect. So we're going to spend 10 minutes at our tables and just do this as a corporate body. And I also encourage you, since the kids are here, pay special attention to what they have to say. Because I think in many ways, kids are so much more in tune to what God is teaching them than us as adults are. And so we can, just like Jesus said, let the little children come to me, and the faith like a child is what brings you into the kingdom. I think we can learn a lot from them. So does that all make sense as far as the question goes and the topic? We're going to take about 10 minutes, and then I will give those of you with kids back in the nursery, I'll give you like a two-minute warning to go grab them before we do the main event tonight of baptism. So let's take about 10 minutes and do that. All right, team. Are we all getting stoked? This is pretty awesome. So we have a very special treat before we get to the baptism as far as the Clark's testimony. But just to kind of wrap up our discussions, I want to just point out a few quick things. One of the most memorable things for me when we were first starting as a church, we were meeting in our living room, and we asked this question: how have you seen God work this past year? And one of the guys that has since moved to Indiana, Ben, said that he always sees God working in hindsight. And that little expression has really stuck with me lately, that God, I always see God working in hindsight. And so just, I guarantee you that you did not plumb the depths of the ways that God has worked in your life this past year. But in hindsight, continue these conversations, process them with your family, with your friends, and see what if you can inventory the ways that God has done a work in your life. And I think one of the easiest ways to have this happen is just like those Ebenezers are physical, tangible stones, I think if you, whenever something happens to you and you can look back and you say, that was God working there. God was up to something there. What I do is I have a little list on my phone, an Evernote that I just keep notes of, and I write the date and I write it down and I say, I think God was up to something here. And then I can go back from time to time and inventory that list and see, it's amazing how long the list gets in just a few months. Like if you are looking to see the ways that God is working in your life, it's so easy to see them pile up. But I also want to point out that if you're here tonight and you're feeling far from God, you're not sure about this whole Christianity thing or Jesus, and you think this all might just, you're not sure what to think yet, that doesn't mean that God isn't still working in your life. Just like in the book of Ruth, they had no idea in the meantime while they were going through this heartache that God was at work. But in hindsight, after God drew those disparate parts of their story together and weaved them together, they could see how he was working. And so what we're going to do now is the Clarks recorded their testimony on a video, and it's about 9 minutes long, and it's an amazing job of doing exactly what we're talking about. They all sat down and reflected on the ways God has worked in their life this past year, and how God is, and over a year, and how God has drawn them to himself. So we're going to watch this testimony video, and then once it's done, I'm going to invite them up here, and we're going to do the baptism. So
before I found God, I was lost without him. I needed him. Then me and my family got invited to a church. I started meeting kids that told me about him. I started praying and learning more and more about him. I know that we have all sinned. God provided his son for us. So his son died on the cross to save us from our sins. My plan in the future is to follow him down his footsteps and to keep praying, and that is why I'm getting baptized, because I am ready to do this, and that I am ready to get baptized and continuing going down his path. The end.
Before Christ was a part of my life, I was very hateful, very angry person. I would come home from work and take a lot of that anger out on Tiffany and Scarlett. Was just unhappy, didn't really have any hope.
So I don't know that I ever didn't know Christ. I was raised Catholic, but unfortunately, the Catholics don't really teach you to have your own personal relationship with Jesus. It's more of a through the priest and through the church. And I was baptized Catholic when I was a baby, and grew up and went to church with my friends, and you know, learned of other religions and how they had their relationships, but nothing really ever stuck. You know, I'd always believed in God, but never really knew how to have that personal, intimate relationship, which I think is very important. And so it took many years for that to happen, but when it did, you know, it I think has been a wonderful piece of our family's life, for sure.
There was a point when about 4 years ago that Tiffany had suggested going to a Christmas Eve service with my dad and stepmom. Kind of fought her on it a little bit. I was very reluctant to go. But I chose to make the decision to go, and that was the point that God slowly started working in me and drawing me to Him.
Christmas Eve is beautiful. Why not? I think where it finally really resonated with us, and where we would go to the Lutheran church with his dad and stepmom, but it wasn't regularly. You know, it was kind of sporadic here and there. And when we moved to Payton, the very first day we signed on our property, our neighbors, Liz and Andy Huey, came walking through the pasture, just kind of wanted to meet us, and Brandon happened to wear a belt buckle with a cross on it. And Liz asked him if he was Christian, and Brandon said, well, yes, as a matter of fact, I am. And but we didn't have a church at that point. You know, we were too far away from Parker to continue going there. And we'd had some bad experiences trying out other churches that we didn't know anything about. And so we were a little reluctant at first because we were not quite settled on the property. We had torn down the house that was on there, and we were living in a camper, which was so fun, let me tell you. And so, you know, we didn't go to church right away, maybe because we didn't shower regularly, I don't know. and then eventually it was right after your 4th of July picnic, I remember, because we did get invited, but we didn't know anybody yet. And I believe that following weekend was the very first time we went to Missio Day.
Well, I've gone to church before and was baptized once before, but nothing in my heart changed. I was still the same angry, hateful person. What he's shown me is that I'm a sinner like everyone else. I'm no better than anyone else. And instead of hating people, he's shown me that I should love sinners like myself. And so that's, you know, what he's shown me. And because of what he's shown me, I'm going out and spreading his word to people that might not know him or have lost their way with him.
It was probably really this summer was a kind of a pivotal moment for me, where I was not in a good spot, and I had called Kelly Schultz, and we met at Costco. And I remember I got in her van and we prayed. So I kind of found God at Costco, not really, but I think more of just a reassurance of His love. And knowing that He's there for you, even in moments of your life when you don't think you have anybody that you can turn to. And so for me, I think that was a pivotal moment that led to some meetings with Colbert. And I said, you know, I think I'd like to be rebaptized, because again, you do it. you know, I was a teenager again when I was baptized, and I think I did it out of, you know, all my friends were doing it kind of thing, and not really understanding that commitment. And of course, at that point, my parents were not involved in the church anymore, and, you know, they weren't even there when I got baptized. So I think for me, this is kind of renewing that vow and that faith, you know, that I started to take but didn't really know where to go or you know, how to pursue having that intimate relationship with God. So, very exciting.
Romans 12, brothers and sisters, God has shown you in your sins, so I am asking you to offer up your bodies to Him while you are still alive. Your bodies are a holy sacrifice that is pleasing to God. When you offer your bodies to God, you are worshiping Him in the right way. Don't live the way this world lives. Let your thinking be completely changed. Then you will be able to test what God wants for you, and you will agree that what He wants is right. His plan is good and pleasing and perfect.
Well, that's one of the most exciting things I think I've ever seen. Here, especially here in our church's young life, to see this happen. So, I love the beauty of that testimony and marking what God has done in their past. And then it shows that this isn't just getting wet and then getting out. It shows that God has already done that transformation in their hearts. And if God has done that transformation, then it's time to celebrate it by doing the sacrament of baptism. So if you, Clarks, want to come on up. And guys, remember, as soon as they're out of the water, we're just going to freak out and cheer, because this is the most exciting thing that we're going to do. And in case anyone's wondering what Brandon looked like in shorts, this is it. This is probably the only chance you will ever get to see this. Am I right? So, So anyway, all right. Well, you want to hop in there? And Brandon, you have just been the biggest source of encouragement and blessing in my life this past year and a half. The way that you are on mission, the way that you're showing Jesus love to people, and then that internal transformation that's so visible in your life. And it's just such a privilege to be able to baptize you today and to just proclaim the goodness that God has been in your life. So Brandon, my brother in Christ, do you confess and affirm Jesus as your Lord and Savior?
I do.
Then I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in the likeness of His death, raised to walk in newness of life. Amen. Amen, man. Amen. That's awesome. Love you, man.
Love you.
Awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, there you go. Awesome. And Tiffany, this past few months, especially when I've been able to just witness the tenderness of your heart and your awareness of how God has worked in your life, it's been such a blessing to see God working in you. And same with Brandon, just knowing that the work is not done, that you're continuing to grow in your faith, and that you are a new creation in Christ because of what He did on the cross. It's such a blessing to see how you've grown, and a privilege to be able to be here today for this. So Tiffany, do you confess and affirm Jesus as your Lord and Savior?
I do.
Then, my sister in Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. Amen.
Hey,
love you.
Love you.
Yes. All right. You ready, Scarlett? So, Scarlett, you are just so full of joy and life, and every time you come running into the building, we're just all excited to see you and hearing how God has worked in your heart, in your life, your young life here, and just seeing how God is continuing to work. It's just a blessing to have you as part of our church family, and I'm so glad to be able to be here today when you get baptized. So do you confess and affirm Jesus as your Lord and Savior?
I do.
Then, Scarlett, my sister in Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life.
Woo!
Amen. Amen. That's awesome. Amen. Well, that's great. Amen. Well, this is one of the most exciting moments in the history of our church, and we're so blessed to have you guys as part of our church family, and so grateful for the work that God has done in your lives, and excited to see what he's going to do in your future as you continue to walk in that newness of life. So now what we're going to do as we wrap up our service is we're going to participate in the other sacrament, the Lord's Supper, and so if you can stand with me, we're gonna spend some time in singing. Thanks, guys. We're so glad that you can. Careful, don't slip on this wet floor. So we're going to sing two songs to wrap it up. And so for those of you parents here with kids, if your kids have never taken communion before, and for those of you that are visitors here tonight, we serve open communion, which means as long as you love Jesus, we invite you to the table to partake in this sacrament. Okay, and if you don't know Jesus, then I would invite you to abstain from it tonight, not because we're trying to be exclusive or anything, but because the communion is a proclamation of the work that God has done in your life, just like baptism is that proclamation. And you can't proclaim something you don't know. So now this is, parents, where I need you to kind of pay attention since we've never done this before. But we're inviting you to have your kids take communion as well if you think that they're at this point in their life where that they can confess and affirm that Jesus is their Lord and that they know that they love Jesus. We want to leave that up to your discretion as parents. We don't have an official position as a church on paedo communion, as it's called, but we want to make sure that this can be a really special time of participating in communion together and celebrating the work that Jesus has done. So I'm going to say a prayer over all of us, and then we're going to sing these two songs. Careful on the wet floor as you come up, don't fall. And then we're going to take communion, come up any time during these next two songs, and just proclaim the death and resurrection of Jesus, just like we saw witnessed here in baptism. So let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we cannot thank you enough for just the joy and the excitement of this moment, witnessing the work that you've done in Brandon and Tiffany and Scarlett's lives. God, we praise your name for that, and we ask that their joy and that their baptism would reinvigorate our faith, that we might be leave this place more on fire for you, more appreciative of the work that you've done in our lives as we were dead in sin and raised to newness of life. And God, I pray that as we come up to partake of communion tonight, that it would be just this, more of the same thing, that you would nourish our souls with the bounty of your love, that we would not rely on ourselves or our own ability to be good people, but we would recognize that we are terrible sinners in your sight were it not for your son's death. Because of that, God, we proclaim with joy how grateful we are that you have made us new creations, that we can partake of the bread, your broken body and your shed blood and the juice, just amazed at the glory that you show us in your love. And God, I pray that we would do this all with joy now as we sing your praises.